Hi.
So you're going to start with your rant?
I have a rant, James.
Okay.
Okay. You know, you take your garbage out. We have an alley still. We still have an alley in this neighborhood.
How do you like your alley? Do you like the idea of having an alley?
I despise the idea of having an alley.
Why do you despise your alley?
Because people, you can hear stuff back there. They like, were what? Illegally dumping, like cars. And
cars drive down your alley?
Periodically, yes. And people are weird.
We should shoot them.
No, I'm not going to shoot. You in this, every week, it's guns. But
look,
anyway,
Catherine, you keep complaining about stuff, and you know what solves problems is shooting people.
No. Anyway, back to my... No,
oh,
the
sure,
alley has been a bane of my existence since moving back into this neighborhood. And I didn't like it when I lived in your neighborhood either. I thought it was creepy. I don't like people having access to my back wall.
The back of your house, right?
Exactly. And so anyway, I had taken the garbage out. You know, our garbage day is Thursday. I know this is such a compelling
content.
Well,
you don't have to say the day. You took the garbage
out. I took the garbage. Well, it's important.
Okay.
So Friday, Thursdays the tubs are empty, the garbage tubs, whatever. And so I had taken the garbage out on Sunday. You know, I do it every day, every couple days if there's not a lot. And, you know, there were things in it. And then I took the garbage out 2 days later on Tuesday, and the garbage can is laying on the side. It is completely squished, like just demolished, like someone ran it over with the truck.
Yeah.
But none of the garbage that was in the can was anywhere. I was looking down.
Oh, my God.
I thought it would be strewn. And in my mind, I thought, oh, my God, this is just like those cows when they think UFOs like take.
Aliens.
Did you? I know. And so I called the city of Phoenix and I asked them, like, what happened to the garbage can? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, there was no garbage. You know, I told her the whole story. And then I told her my cow analogy and she laughed for like 5 minutes. And then she's like, you know, I don't know. She's like, maybe someone just wheeled your garbage can away and put their broken one there.
Yeah.
Which makes sense as opposed to aliens taking my garbage like they were sucking.
I'm going with the aliens.
I thought it was more interesting.
Way more interesting. Plus, we have aliens. You know, it's a known phenomena here in Phoenix.
It is.
You know, Dreamy Draw, there's that whole conspiracy theory about that.
I don't know anything about that.
Dreamy Draw is a recreation area we have out here.
Oh, I know. I love Dreamy Draw.
It's not in the middle of nowhere, but once you get on the Dreamy Draw, it's recreation land. There's nothing out there. So people got really freaked out that the government built a dam out there.
Right.
It's like, why is there a dam in the middle of nowhere? What's that for? And so conspiracy, these two nuts said, oh, it's aliens. They're covering over an alien site. It's like, you need to build a dam over an alien site. You can't just take all the stuff away. Wait.
I had never heard that. And I've lived here for a long time. That's hilarious.
That's because it was totally debunked because.
Well, I guess.
This was claimed to be the same time as Roswell happened. So in the 1940s, they claimed that there was. But the dam wasn't built until the 70s. So for 30 years, you could just walk around an alien crash site. According to these nutballs.
Oh, Lord.
So, obviously, we have aliens in Phoenix, and they're taking your trash cans.
That was my theory, and I was working it.
Here's the thing. We're talking about big trash bins. They're kind of the size of a cow, and they're kind of the same color as a cow. So, I think the aliens just got confused as to what they were doing. So, is this a cow?
That was exactly my thought. When I saw that on its side with no garbage, the analogy was just hardwired right into my brain.
And you know what? They probably find the same stuff in the trash can as they do in the cow.
Oh, my God.
So to them, for an alien, it's like, this is a different type of cow. It's got a petrochemical base of skin.
So that was my rant. But furthermore, in my conversations with, they still haven't replaced it. It's still there on its side with holes in it. It's just ridiculous. I have to walk down the alley to dump my garbage now.
You want a new cow.
I want a new cow.
Okay.
I want a new cow.
You know, when I moved here, I was really happy with the alleyways. Cause I said, wow, you can put all your trash back there and they can do the maintenance can come through or the utilities can come through. You can have work guys go through the back. There's all kinds of great reasons to have one. But now if we took a referendum, I would say shut that shit down because the same problems you have, people illegally dump there all the freaking time and
right.
It drives me nuts.
I have illegal dumping signs now in the back of my wall because we have like the walls here and you know, you go out there and there was literally one day, this was a couple years ago. I mean, there was literally like an entire living room set up in the back of the alley, a sectional sofa.
Catherine, that sounds like an art installation.
If it was only good. It wasn't even interesting furniture. It was just crud. And someone just literally trashed out. And the thing is, like, we're kind of on a corner area, so there's like a lot of space for them to set up. No, literally, there was like an entire living room, the sectional, well, this little chair. There were lamps. There were end tables. It was ridiculous.
So that's the problem. If you're on the corner, you got it the worst, because people don't want to go all the way into the alley to dump stuff. They'll just dump stuff. You know, they'll drive by and just dump stuff in the alley.
Right. They've
so
got.
So that's the worst place to be. I'm at least one house in.
Yeah.
And well, you know, people have been sleeping back there too in the morning. It's like, excuse me, sir.
Oh my gosh, no.
Get out of my alley.
No way. Yeah.
We have a park down the street for that, sir.
Yes, you do.
Two, actually.
That's such a cute neighborhood. I miss it down there. Anyway, that was my rant. And the city of Phoenix just did notify me, for any of our Phoenix listeners, that there evidently is theft amongst the recycling containers. The blue recycling containers are a hot commodity right now in the city of Phoenix. And they're stealing the containers.
Why?
She said because multiple people are living in dwellings, houses, apartment, whatever. And she's like, they fill them up. And so they need more recycling containers. And instead of using the recycling containers for recycling, they're using them for garbage.
Right.
So now the recycling people have to inspect the cans. And she said they're starting a process whereby they will be fining people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just $17 to get a new blue can.
Oh, I didn't even pay that. They just sent a new one. I said,
right,
you know, ours was damaged. So they took the old one away and dropped off a new one.
Right. Well, someone stole mine several years ago and they just dropped off a new one.
Well, we should go find them and shoot them. See, shooting again.
Yes,
you know,
you're
these problems
so into
just
it.
propagate them. The less shooting you do, the more problems you have. Do you have people picking through your recycling bins?
Well, my recycling bin, I keep it in the back. I have a little area in the backyard.
No, when you put it out on the street.
I don't know. I don't check it. I don't care if they want that crap.
If you just saw people doing it. They come by through here occasionally. It was more common a few years ago, but apparently it's a big problem in San Francisco, where homeless people who are picking through the trash to find the recyclables they can get money for,
mm-hmm.
you know, like bottles or actually like mm-hmm. copper wire that they can sell to the scrapyard.
Right.
They're pretty territorial about it, and they get pretty aggressive. Apparently, like I said, they're territorial and they're aggressive, and some of them will not wait until recycling day, and they'll go onto your property and up into your driveway and scrounge around in your bin.
For
and,
gosh,
you know,
no.
this makes some people very upset, and I think rightly so.
Well, what I do in terms of the, like, aluminum recycling or anything they could get, I put it in a separate bag in the recycling container, which I know is not appropriate. They don't want you putting bags. But if they take it out, and sometimes they're gone, so maybe they are taking them.
Well, that's great. I think that's really good. But I wonder if, I know they say they don't want that, but it goes to the recycling center and people have to scan through it anyway. And they have to pick through it to separate it. So it might be making their job easier. I don't know.
Yeah, I just do that periodically. I don't often have a lot of cans. We don't consume a lot of stuff like sodas or beer or anything that would be in those cans. So the couple things I have, I'll just put it in a little bag. So.
Yeah, of course, some people don't really understand recycling at all. Like my father-in-law, I was down in Florida trying to help them move, which was
a
total disaster. But he was saying, oh, just put it in the recycling. I was like, Tom, this is not recyclable.
Right.
Oh, here's a pizza box. Put that in recycling. Tom, anything that has food in it, you can't recycle.
Nope.
And just like anything plastic, you can't recycle. Just because it's plastic doesn't mean it's recyclable.
No. Nope.
He puts everything in a trash bag. So you open up his recycling bin and it's got four or five trash bags in it.
Oh my gosh.
Tom, I don't think you're doing this right.
A lot of people don't do it right.
But it's Florida, so they probably burn it anyway.
Well, I think that they periodically burn it. Like, you know, periodically here in Phoenix, you'll say, oh, the recycling center went up in flames. I think they just do that. I think it's just like they just throw their hands up. It's like, it's time. We're just doing a burn. We're purging. That's my working theory.
It's like, oh, no, I'm smoking here. Oops.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, we
Look
can't. It's like they're just over it, you know. So anyway, public service announcement.
What do you
done.
Do with that stuff? This sounds like sub-rant is anti-recycling.
No, I love recycling. I'll recycle anything in hopes that someone does something with it. And it also inspires my creative side, dare I say art. But
don't.
I have a lot of packing material. I've been ordering a lot of stuff online in an exponential rate. I wasn't like this at the beginning, like in 2020 when everyone was doing the ordering. I just did what I could. Now I'm on like a tear and I'm just ordering all kinds of stuff.
Well, stop. You don't need it. What are you ordering stuff for? Don't you have enough stuff? You have a house full of stuff already.
Well, I'm ordering like art supplies online and then it all comes packed like really nice. I ordered a bunch of those chocolate bars again.
Catherine,
you know, for my dad.
It seems to me that you probably have enough art supplies. supplies.
Yeah, never enough.
You know, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. You were wanted to talk about, for some reason, some crazy woman who painted her house. One thing they said about this woman who painted started painting her house was she had no TV, magazines, or regular access to a newspaper. You know what happens when you don't have that stuff? You figure out something else to do, like you paint, or you make sculpture, or you read, or you write. Mm-hmm. Today, she'd just be on social media her whole day. This was after, you know, she was trying to recover from the death of basically her whole family. It's so easy to order stuff and just pack your house with more things because you think, oh, well, this will change everything. I'll be able to do this new thing now. If you cut stuff out of your life and give yourself fewer options, then you actually get stuff done. Like last week when I was in Florida, I had an iPad and my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was either watching Hulu or sketching. The fewer things you have, the fewer things you want.
A lot of the stuff I'm getting, they're eating.
Oh.
So it's not here for a long time.
You said art supplies, so that makes me a little bit worried.
Well, no, the art supplies. I had to get that art paste. They're not, you can't buy it in the stores.
Oh, so they're eating art paste as opposed to regular
paste. I ordered art paste.
Does it have more vitamins
like
and minerals
candy bars.
In it?
No. It's an amazing product. I love this art paste I found. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. But like I'm using all of the packing materials in these little sculptures I'm making. You know, it's all being recycled.
You reuse.
It's being recycled.
That's not recycling. That's reusing.
Reuse, recycle.
Reduce.
To me, it's all the same thing.
You don't even know it, do you? It's reduce, reuse,
recycle.
No,
it's reduce,
recycle.
Reuse, recycle.
Well, sorry, but I got there first.
So I'm reusing it. So it's not going in the landfill. And I'm having a blast, James.
One more point about fewer things making you happier.
Uh-huh.
When my son was 4 or 5, he had a nice, well, I wouldn't say big. It was probably 8 by 8 foot. Room that was basically dedicated to his playroom. And okay. We were trying not to buy him a lot of toys, and we didn't. Unfortunately, the rest of the family on both sides were not quite as restrained as we were. So he was avalanched in toys before he was able to get out of the crib. And he was not very good at cleaning up. As a 4 or 5 year old, you know, they're usually not very skilled at cleaning up.
Right.
And I warned him, Bob, if you don't clean this up, I'm going to take every toy away from you for a whole week that I find on the floor. And that's like 90% of his toys are always out on the floor. Mm-hmm. And so he was at a friend's house one day. And while he was there, I picked up everything on the floor and put it in a big bag. And he got home and said, where are all my toys? I said, well, Bob, as I told you, if you didn't clean it up, I was going to confiscate mm-hmm. them. So I did. And he was upset for about 5 minutes. And then he went looking through his drawers and found that there were still toys in there, but only a handful of toys.
Uh-huh.
And so he immediately started playing with what he had. And a week goes by and he didn't complain at all about his toys being gone. We talked about it afterwards. He said, well, you know, it was really weird because when I have all the toys on the floor, you know, I have 100 toys scattered around the floor. I never know what to play with. But when you took them all away, I only had a few toys left. I didn't have to question about it. I just picked up something and started playing with it.
Oh, wow. Epiphany.
Epiphany.
I like that story. That was a good story.
Thank you. About evil dad taking his son's toys away. The anti-Santa Claus.
Oh, about teaching the...
Anti-Claus.
Anti-Claus. No, just about teaching the value of focus. We were doing that in my meditation class that I just took online. Focus. Nothing sticks in this brain. Should we talk about more art?
Sure. What do you got?
Did you get that article I sent you about the like last week we started a little bit on photography, talking about Midnight and Gottfried's photos, and which I'm still thinking about, by the way. But I found that wacky article, I hope you got it, about, I believe it's a Japanese photographer who shrink wraps his subjects.
Well, I got it this morning after you actually sent the link. Disgusted by that. I don't know what you want me to say about it. They covers people and their houses and their stuff in plastic wrap and sucks the air out of it and takes a picture of it.
Right.
Why are people doing this? Why is he doing this? It looked gross to me. It looked pretty kind of disgusting. I didn't get it. I didn't see any value in it.
I didn't know if there was value or not, but I know if I was going to be shrink-wrapped, I'd go in with an X-Acto knife.
What? You don't even need... You could just pull it apart with your hands.
Well, how do you know? You may be just riddled with fear. You may be having a moment of, I don't know, complete like dissociation.
Then you shoot it.
I would just have an X-Acto knife in my hand.
Shoot the plastic.
Shoot it.
You see, again... solve your problems, it's always shooting something.
Oh, forgot. James, you're just on a rant today with the shooting.
I like shooting. I like to play Halo a lot.
Oh, my God.
I'm playing Halo Infinite on Legendary, and it's real hard, really hard. It's really hard, Catherine.
It's really, really hard. Okay.
Yeah. You don't feel my pain.
Oh, God. Next. Okay, so the shrink wrap article went nowhere.
Oh, it was awful. Okay, imagine a suburban house. Imagine 2 parents and 3 kids.
Right.
Imagine a car in the driveway and a moped, because this is Asia somewhere. Now imagine you just put a clear sheet of plastic over the house, over the bike, over the car, mm-hmm. over the family, And then take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. I guess you've made art.
I just like the pictures of the people that were all squished together as they shrink wrapped up.
Yeah, they look so uncomfortable. What the hell is the point? He's just supposed to, what was it? Something about freezing their life in a moment, freezing a moment of their life or something?
Like a
That's what the camera's for. You don't need to wrap them in plastic.
I know. It just took it to the next level. I don't know what
doesn't.
To me, it did.
The next level down, maybe.
But the picture of that family, and they're all like squished in an unnatural posture because they were shrink wrapped together. When I saw that, I laughed. Triggered you, but I laughed, and I definitely would go in with an X-Acto knife. And we need to say no more. I'll link the article.
This is the difference between you and I, Catherine. I care about people, and it's just something for you to laugh at.
I thought it was funny. I thought the house, you know, was a little bit overkill.
That guy got hit by a car. How funny is that?
No. Well, it's not like he kidnapped them and shrink wrapped them.
You don't know that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, maybe that's like the next level, like capturing, like freezing that emotion of abject terror.
Well, wouldn't the next level being freezing them and putting that on display?
I thought it was funny. I thought it was wacky.
Like that body, the show that went around several years ago?
Yeah, I couldn't even go. I tried. I got to the door and I turned around.
I can imagine that being too much for some people.
Yeah, it was too much for me. I bought tickets. I went and I couldn't go in. I was just horrified. Moving on, Ing did send that article.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I think you should describe it first.
Describe the article, James.
It was kind of a crummy article. It didn't have a lot of information. The image is really bad, but what I got from it, it looked like they had a couple of tiger sculptures just placed on a street in Kuala Lumpur for people walking by in the street. And there's some complaint about damage, so why don't you take it from there?
The tigers were damaged on January 17th and then on January 20th. And so,
right, but who was doing it?
I don't know
and
who
why?
Was doing it. I really don't know who was doing it. Do they know who was doing it?
But do they know why? Or, well, they had the video of it, or CTV, whatever. Some video of it from a security camera, because everybody's recording all the time now. It sounded like they were just trying to climb on top of it and get on top and maybe take a picture or something, or just play with it. I don't know. I can't get that worked up about this, because it seems like if you're going to have, quote, public artwork that's literally in the street, you should make sure that it's durable enough for people to climb on, because, you know, people are stupid and we'll climb on things. We are basically apes, so you have to kind of assume that that's going to happen. Apes are going to be apes.
Oh, gosh.
This is kind of on the artist for not making a durable sculpture. If they're, you know, if it's on a pedestal or somewhere where it's clearly not accessible or shouldn't be climbed on, then, yeah, being damaged, I would get upset about. But if you're putting it literally on the street, and people are walking by and can step over it, on it, and up on top of it, and it looks, you know, it looks like a pretty strong piece.
It looks like a strong piece.
It's not as strong as it looks, which is another, that's a design problem, right? You have an art problem and a design problem here. I'm sorry that they're damaged, but this shouldn't be a surprise, and the artist shouldn't be getting upset about it for people damaging it. They should make a stronger piece next time.
I hear what you're saying. I don't completely agree, because if public art is out there, I don't think that people should think that they have to revert to their apeness to destroy it. Why does someone have to climb on a piece of work?
Unless you show me there was intent to destroy it for some reason, it may be just the fact that they're climbing on it because it's there and it seems like, oh, hey, look, we can climb on these tigers.
Yeah.
You know, kids could do it, adults, young adults, stupid drunk people could do it. You know, you have to take into account where the piece is going to be.
Right.
I'm not crazy that they're being damaged, but I'm also, you know, it sounds like it's largely the fault of the artist for not making something strong enough to withstand the environment in which it was put.
Yeah, and I just don't think that people should jump on art regardless.
Okay, but this is public art.
Yeah, it's public art.
If it's in the street, you have to take that into account.
If
you want to try to dictate people's behavior and what you think they should and should not do, good luck with that, Catherine.
I know. Anyways, Malaysian artist Alice Chang Oilay and her Malaysian tiger family was damaged 3 times now. I was sad about it.
Don't read the news then.
Okay. Anyway, well, thanks, Ang, for sending the article.
Sorry, Ang.
And I don't think that people should destroy art, and I do believe that people should be more educated and schooled to not, you know, just jump on stuff, and it just annoys me. It's like putting graffiti over a Banksy, like that same stuff we talked about several episodes ago. I just think it's all wrong.
Talking about things getting destroyed,
mm-hmm.
4,000 luxury cars are now at the bottom of the Atlantic.
Isn't that something, James?
4,000 somethings. So that's the container ship we talked about that caught on fire
a couple
weeks ago. It actually wound up sinking. So there are countless numbers of Porsches, just driving around the bottom of the ocean now. And the sharks are probably loving it.
That's just what they needed in the ocean, more garbage.
At least this is high quality garbage.
What difference does it make?
Fine Italian leather.
Fine Italian leather.
And carbon fiber.
Oh my God.
Only the best.
How many cars were there again? Like
4,000.
4,000.
And then also, news from the sea.
Yes.
Because that's what we do now.
News from the sea.
I love the fact that all these Russian oligarchs are having their mega yachts confiscated.
Oh, gosh.
So the French authorities were the last one to do this. There was an oligarch, Igor Sechin, boss of Russian state energy company Rosneft. Rosneft. God, I hate Russian. I think this was reported to be like the largest yacht in the world by tonnage. So it was like the biggest, heaviest yacht around. It's just funny that, you know, $600 million worth of vessel seized. Russian oligarchs are stealing their money from the populace of Russia. Mm-hmm. So they're getting all their shit taken away from them now. It's the funny thing. Russia has the same GDP, or had it before the war, as Italy.
Right.
Now, I'm not trying to throw any shit on Italy, but, you know, those are not quite the same level of countries, and we don't think of them as being the same level. Well, guess what they are? So how is all these people getting money? They're just stealing it from the people of Russia. It's really kind of gross. But anyway, it's nice to see a little bit of justice. I don't know who seized it. I don't know what the French are going to do with it. You know, who gets it now?
I don't know. Maybe they'll just sink it to the bottom of the ocean with the Lamborghinis.
Well, that would be dumb.
Maybe they should make it a bed and breakfast.
Well, I think it's a hotel-sized boat.
You know, turn it into some cash.
Sell it for some fighter jets. That'd buy about six U.S. fighter jets, and you can send those to Ukraine.
Oh, gosh.
More shooting. See? It's always the shooting.
Getting back to Ukraine and all of this devastation.
Oh, boy.
And the destruction of art. You referenced Paulina Rako, who painted her house. She painted all of her house.
You're calling her an artist? Having looked at the painting, I'm thinking that's pretty generous.
It was kind of naive art.
It was naive painting.
It was naive painting, right. She was an artist in Ukraine. And the whole point of the articles, I sent you a couple articles about, well, there were kind of a couple, there were two, about these works that were destroyed.
So this woman's house, who had painted her house after the death of most of her family, and then a well-known early mid-century painter from Ukraine. Also, her museum was destroyed. I think her works were in a museum.
Yeah, her works were in a museum.
Well, some of them. I think they lost about half a dozen of her works. This first one, where she was painting her house, it's very primitive painting. I don't really see it as art. The second one, I didn't like very much.
I see it as art. It's naive. It's her expression. It made me happy. Wasn't your definition of art like if it gives an emotional response? So it made me happy. So it's art.
It seemed crude enough that it was kind of hard to look at, especially the idea that if you look at the whole room, it's hard to get a sense for the whole thing because there weren't enough pictures to really get a sense for the whole environment. But it seemed like there wasn't a lot of connection between the ceiling and the floor, and it seemed a little bit overpainted and very simplistic. It was like there wasn't a real grasp of the medium or composition. Now, the next painter that we talked about, what was her name?
Maria Primachenko.
Her work I was not drawn to, but I can at least see that it's got some skill to it. There's a lot of composition and color. It's just a little bit intense for my taste. Yeah, and her work was destroyed too. It seemed like it was a small building in the middle of a field, so I don't know why Russia would have targeted it other than they just didn't like museums.
Are there targets, or is this just random acts of violence?
That would still be a target of something. You know, why would you bomb a building in the middle of a field?
Right.
It was not like it was about to attack you.
Right.
That building's looking at me weird.
Right. And I guess the point, like, why I sent these articles is just the devastation. Like, just, you know, it's the human cost. It's the artistic cost. And it reminded me so much of, you know, the destruction of the Buddhist statues when all of that. Oh, and, you know, and it's just, you know, just this random act. Because art to me, you know, irrespective of whether you like the naive work, which I happen to always like naive work, I'm just drawn to it. I think it's whimsical and fun and very childlike in a way. I liked her story, you know, but that was her house. That was her expression of her grief on these walls and ceilings. And now it's gone because why? The cost of human life and the human cost supersedes art, but art also connects us in a humane way. It's like part of our humanity. Right. So to me, it just strips it down to the core. So what is left? Like rubble and dirt and everything as it was before humanity existed.
Worse. It's destruction.
Yeah. So when I saw that these were destroyed, it got to me equally.
We're not equipped to talk about the Ukrainian crisis.
We're not equipped to talk about it. No, I'm not talking about Ukraine. I'm just talking about war in general and how it just levels the playing field to nothing. in terms of human life, artistic expression, all of it. It just got to me, and I thought these articles were interesting.
We can't speak on this topic to any kind of degree in any other aspect. We're just taking a moment to grieve for the lost art and lost humanity of just that. That's just one little piece. We can't do much. This is all we can do.
This is all we can do.
There are plenty of people who are more eloquent and more educated to describe the destruction that's going on in other parts of Ukraine, other parts of their society, their nuclear plants and whatnot, but we can just remind people that, you know, all that stuff is happening too, but they're also losing their heritage.
Yes. That was my point. Thank you, James. On that note, what else we got?
Well, you do want some good news?
I do want some good news. Let's have some good news.
I don't know if this is good news.
Okay.
But it was kind of funny.
All right.
On President's Day, do you know what didn't happen?
I didn't get mail.
Trump did not inaugurate his new social media platform.
Oh, gosh.
Truth Social, which was supposed to be the big new thing that they have the SPAC and billions of dollars poured into, was supposed to launch on President's Day. And I think it kind of did, but then it didn't. No one has really gotten an invite for it. It's still basically in closed beta. So it's basically a huge flop. And this is weeks afterwards, and it's still not up. The funny thing is some of the commentary is pointing out that it might be getting more traction if Trump was actually posting to it, because he's not posting to it. He's not using his own social media platform.
That's so funny.
Isn't that? It's like he's interested in it and then he just loses interest and moves on to something else. You know, he goes on to the news shows and talks about how brilliant Putin is. Not a single post from Trump on his own social media platform yet.
I find that fascinating and hopeful. I think it's awesome. I don't want to hear anything from him.
It's hysterical. Oh, well, you know, that's not going to stop him from talking, but...
Right. And I don't listen. I'm going on a news fast, this whole situation. I want to stay informed to be informed, but I don't want to be obsessive about it like I was so often about the news. And enough, you know, I don't want to hear him anymore. He's had enough airspace and enough time in my brain. I'm done. I just want to move on. I want positive things. He doesn't have a positive message. If he had a positive message of hope and generosity and a well-thought-out message, I mean, you know.
You're not hearing the message he's trying to deliver. He has crafted a message for a certain part of the population that to them sounds hopeful and inspiring.
And I don't get it. That's the chasm I can't jump over.
You put the message in context and realize that it's folly. You know, his essential message is, hey, let's make America great again. That's literally his campaign slogan. When was it greater than it is now? What are we looking back to that we're trying to pull back from the past? He never goes into great detail about that. So he's just tugging on the strings of nostalgia. He has no actual plan. He's just saying, hey, you remember, you know, in this distant, foggy past that everything was perfect. Well, you know, there was no American past where everything was perfect.
No, there wasn't.
Most days are a little bit better than the day before. Not all days. Mm-hmm. We have some setbacks, but most of the time we're progressing forward. So if you're not on the train going forward, if you want to go back, you go in the wrong direction. You got nothing to offer.
Right.
So just stay on your social media and don't post anything like you've not been doing.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Here's a word of warning for you, Catherine.
What? I'm listening.
Do not back any of Trump's business deals. Truth Social, supposed to be his hallmark, his big debut in social media. He can't even bother to use it himself. Right?
Right.
You can't trust this guy further than you can throw him. And since he's like 600 pounds, you can't really throw him that far.
And we've given him airspace on our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I'm sure we're going to get a lot of donations for him.
No, I just don't even want to give him a space.
No, it's too late for that.
I know. It's time to move on from so much. And I just want a hopeful message. I guess that's why I like BTS. They make me happy.
Oh, yeah, because it's a fake world you're looking into there, Catherine.
I don't care how fake. It's happy. They have pretty visuals. I like looking at it. I smile. And the world is wonderful. I'm looking at it through BTS glasses.
Well, I'm not. But well, I'm glad you can.
I can. And I will. Oh, one thing before we leave.
What?
In terms of my ordering stuff.
Oh, boy.
I finally ordered some books from Talk to Me in Korean. And I'm going to start in earnest.
Oh, boy.
Learning the language. So I just wanted to update you because I'm tired of of not understanding things.
Well, good luck with Korean.
I don't speak English well, but I'll certainly butcher the Korean language. Mea culpa in advance to everyone in the country.
You'll know you've gotten the Korean thing down when you can ramble on Korean as well.
Well, let's end this rambling nonsense. Whatever.